If you've been rescued, do you go back into the fire? You want to die to your sins because God saved you through his son Jesus Christ to live righteously, to live for righteousness. How do we live for righteousness? We give Jesus all the glory.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Healed by His Stripes and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Healed by his stripes, key verse Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Some versions say stripes. The Lord Christ heals us by what he did on the cross. So I got some main points that I want to go over here today. First, Jesus suffered greatly for us. Jesus suffered greatly for us. The punishment he took was actually our punishment. It wasn't his, it was ours. Jesus was innocent, we were guilty, and he was punished for what we did and what we do. God is just and will punish sin. We have peace with God through the suffering of Jesus Christ. Our healing is spiritual. Nothing in your life is going to go right until you are spiritually healed. First of all, I want to talk about how Jesus suffered greatly for us. He was falsely accused and arrested, and his freedom was taken away from him. Imagine being innocent and guilty of nothing. And people start accusing you of things that you didn't do, that wasn't even in your nature to do. People who knew you, who saw the miracles and the good that you did, and people come up to you and they start accusing you of stuff that you weren't even guilty of. And then you get arrested for that stuff. And your freedom is taken away from you. And you're put in the custody of people who hate you. You're put into the custody of the people who actually accused you of the things you wouldn't do and didn't do. He was severely beaten. Pilate had him whipped with the cat of nine tails. For those of you who are not familiar with that instrument of torture, it has nine straps of leather on it with pieces of glass and bone and other sharp pieces of metal. And as it would hit your skin, it would sink down. And it would take little tiny chunks of your meat out with it as the person administering the whipping would pull back on the whip. It would rip pieces of your meat out. A lot of people did not survive that. When the Romans said that you were going to be whipped with the cat of nine tails, that usually meant you were going to die because they would beat you so severely that if the pain didn't kill you, the blood loss would. But Jesus endured that. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. They had made up a mock crown for Jesus Christ, not believing that he was the King of the Jews. But he was the King of the Jews. He was from the bloodline of King David, and he was rightfully called King of all kings because he is God's son. They put this thorn on his head, and this thorn pressed into his scalp. And I don't know if anybody ever in here has ever had a wound on their head, but it bleeds when you get a cut on your head. A little cut can bleed. They took this crown made of thorns and they pressed it into his skull all around his head, and it pierced him and it was bleeding profusely, I'm sure. not to mention the pain that that must have caused him. He was mocked and spit on and ridiculed. The people that once chanted Hosea, Hosea, and said that they loved him and cared for him were now mocking him. They were now treating him like he was dirt on the street. A dog got more respect than Christ got when he was being arrested and being accused and being punished for what we did. So he was mocked and spit on. Imagine somebody who deserves all the glory and people are spitting on God incarnate. Picture that for a moment. A man who raised the dead, who opened the eyes of the blind, who healed the sick, who did all of these wonderful things, who taught about love and compassion and talked about how God was sacrificing his one and only begotten son for us. And they were spitting on him, mocking him, laughing at him. Unjustly. He suffered when he was made to carry the beam of his cross. Some movies depict Christ as carrying the whole thing, but the Roman way was you carried the beam of the cross. And it was very heavy. It was very bulky. Not to mention that he was suffering the wounds of the cat of the nine tails. Not to mention the fact that he was crowned with this thorn still. That wasn't removed until his body was dead. And he was going through the streets and he fell three times. Three times to the point where a Roman soldier had to have somebody come up and help him carry it. How many of you ever had to have somebody help you carry your cross? Do you not know that as Christians, God will give you a cross to bear? And you can't always carry that cross by yourself. That's because God did not design you to do it on your own. Sometimes you have to cry out to God and have him help you carry that cross. See, God isn't going to load you down with something that you can't handle by yourself. He's going to load you down with something that you have to cry out to him to carry. Now, I know when you guys pray, you'd be like, oh, God, don't give me that cross. That cross is too heavy. But see, God says, I'll be there to hold you up and to carry that cross for you if you will give it to me. Now, Jesus could have been proud, and he could have said to the man that helped him carry that beam, I'll do it on my own. But chances are his physical body may not have made it, and his mission would not have been fulfilled. Right now, God's got a mission for all of us in here. I don't know what your individual mission is, but whatever it is, you can't do it by yourself. So Jesus was made to carry his own cross. You're going to be made to carry your own cross. But don't worry, God's going to be there to help you. He was stripped naked before he was hung on the cross. I know in the movies they depict a little towel around his waist. No. They stripped you completely naked. Most of us don't want to be naked in front of anybody, let alone a bunch of strangers out there that are mocking you and hating you and saying horrible things about you, spitting on you. The humility. Think about it. Think about the humility that he suffered. Think about that. His bloody, beaten body stripped naked and hung on a cross. And then he was nailed to the cross, a suffering, agonizing death of suffocation and cardiac arrest that follows as the carbon dioxide builds up into the body and slowly suffocates the victim. Jesus did all of these things for you, for me, for all sinners. He did it. We didn't do it. Now, if you guys can think of something else that you could add to this list that you could do better than Jesus, you'll amaze me. And then come out being perfect through it all. There's nobody in this room or in this world outside of Jesus that could have done all of this. The punishment he took was ours. That was one of my points. I'm going over these points. In 1 Peter 2:24, it confirms the verse of Isaiah. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now understand, the tree is the cross. The tree is the cross so that we might die to sins. Anybody know what it means to die to sins? Some of you want to still live in your sins. But we have to die to our sins. We have to say no to our sins. We have to say, listen, I am not that person anymore. I was bought with a price. Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. Why do I want to go back to them? Why do I want to go back to that sinking boat? You don't want to do that. If you've been rescued, do you go back into the fire? You want to die to your sins because God saved you through his son, Jesus Christ, to live righteously, to live for righteousness. How do we live for righteousness? We give Jesus all the glory. We surrender our lives over to Christ. Surrender is a daily process. It ain't something you can wake up today and expect to continue on next week just because you made the decision today. You have to wake up tomorrow and make that decision again. See, the flesh wants its way. The flesh wants to live in the sins that God rescued you from. The flesh wants its way. But Peter is telling us that we were meant to live for righteousness. And that by doing so, we give Jesus the glory, don't we? So God is a just God and will punish sin. A lot of people think that an all-loving God would not send somebody to hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin. Somebody's going to have to pay the price. If you do not accept Jesus Christ and believe in him for what he did on the cross for all of us, then you're going to have to pay the wages of sin. And that wage is death. When a non-believer steps in front of God, God's going to tell them, you owe me some wages. And the wages of what you've done is spiritual death. Spiritual death is what happens when a person sins and nobody pays the wages. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That God has a way out. It's not difficult. It's not hard to understand. A lot of people say, well, I'm a good person. You're not that good. You're not that good. You're not perfect. So through Jesus Christ, God gives us a way out. He's not making it impossible. He's not making it unfair. In fact, he's doing it all for you. How would you guys like to get a job and get the paycheck for that job and have somebody else show up to do the job? We got one honest person in the whole room. Two now. Now three, four. Okay, that we see. You see how that works? Jesus already showed up and did the job and paid the price. You guys get to reap the benefit. You don't have to do anything. In fact, the more you think you have to do, the more trouble you're going to get into. Because you're going to get all anxious, you're going to get all nervous, and you're going to think it's up to you to be perfect. And you're never going to make that mark. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what other people think you may or may not do or have done. It matters what God thinks of you. But it's a free gift. It's not something you have to buy into. It's very simple. Even a child can understand it. You believe what Jesus did for you, and you accept that, and you're in. Just like that. But see, our sins can keep us from doing that, can't they? How many of us know people that just won't accept Jesus Christ? Because they love the darkness. Well, I don't want to change. I don't want to live for righteousness. I want to continue on doing what I want to do to who I want to do it. It don't work that way. Repentance is a change of heart. Repentance is a change of heart. You got to turn away from the world of sin. Also in 2 Corinthians, we're going over that God is a just God and will punish sin. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Maybe I should read that one again. We're all going to sit in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to get what's coming to us. So don't y'all be pointing the finger at your neighbor. And tell them what they deserve, because God already knows what each and every one of us deserves, right? Now, you got to understand that Christians are going to sit in front of this seat, too. It says all. Now, I know people that would tell, they told me, oh, when I sit in front of God, I'm going to tell him all the good things I did. No, you're not. You're going to be kneeling on your knees. You're going to be in awe when you see God. But I know that some people don't believe that. Some people don't believe that. We have peace with God through the suffering of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that God can take something so horrible as the suffering of Christ and bring peace from it. Bring peace from it. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Who is the hope of the glory of God? Who is that? That's Christ. He gives you hope. He gives you hope. Gives you hope. Because see, without Christ, you have no way out of hell. You have no way out of the grave. So you can get all the cars in the world. You can get all the houses in the world. You can get the best job in the world. And you can live your life any way you want to live it. But one day you're going to die. You might grow old and die, or you might have an illness and die, or you might have an accident and die. But sooner or later, you're going to die. And then you're going to meet God. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you ain't got no hope. No hope. Now that is a very depressing thought, to live your life with no hope, to be looking forward to the grave only. Now some people think, well, you just fade away. You don't know anything after you die. Boy, that's a big gamble for such. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but I bet you don't want to perish either. It's a two-way street, isn't it? Our healing is spiritual. This scripture is about a spiritual healing. If you are not spiritually healed, all the other stuff isn't going to line up. Even if you feel great in your body, you're still not going to feel great in your soul. So you're still going to be sick spiritually. So the spiritual healing is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ for what he did. Now see, this is an important concept because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have it straight with Christ, you're not going to get it straight anywhere else. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't lay it on Christ, you're going to lay it on yourself or lay it on others. Did you hear what I said? If you don't lay it on Christ, you're going to lay it on yourself or lay it on someone else. And the devil's going to come in. He's going to have his way with you. Because here's what he's going to say to you. You're not good enough. Or they just don't know you and they just don't accept you because of your past or because of your behaviors or because of your shortcomings. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? We feel judged by the world. We feel judged by ourselves. We feel judged by our families. But Jesus Christ came to take all that away from you. You don't have to feel that condemnation because God isn't judging you anymore. What a glorious thing that we have in Christ. We have freedom. We are saved from sin. Sin doesn't have a hold on us anymore. We don't even have to listen to it anymore if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So when Satan or your own mind comes up against you and says, well, look at all the things that you did in your past. Look at those thoughts that you have in your head. Look what you're thinking. Because, you know, we all get crazy thoughts. Sometimes they're our own thoughts. Sometimes the devil puts them in there. But you can't blame everything on the devil. That's ridiculous. If you blame everything on the devil, then you're going to be stuck in a loop just thinking, well, it's not my fault. You have to take responsibility for some of your behaviors. You have to take responsibility for some of your behaviors. But that responsibility starts with Jesus Christ. You have to say, okay, Lord, I know that I'm spiritually sick. That's called confession. Then you got to say, I don't want to do it anymore. That's called repentance. I got to change of heart. This is not how I want to be anymore. Okay? And then the faith comes in when you say, heal me. Because now you're asking him for the prescription, and that takes faith to ask God anything, does it not? So you can ask God for a better job. You can ask God for a nicer car, a nicer house, a nicer spouse, a nicer boyfriend or girlfriend or a better family, whatever it is. But until you are spiritually right with God, none of that stuff is going to matter. Because God could put you in a perfect environment, and without the spiritual healing, you'd mess it up. You get what I'm saying? Until you are spiritually right with God, He can't give you those things you've been praying for because you're going to mess it up. You might have it for a while. You might enjoy it for a while. But in the long run, it's going to slip through your fingers because your sinful nature is going to rule you and destroy those things. Because what's the wages of sin? Death. And you know what? It's not just your spiritual death, but I'm going to tell you something. Sin kills other things too. It kills other things. You have a parent that's a drunk, and the family will disintegrate. The children will suffer. You have a parent that is neglectful, the same thing, okay? You have a person who shows up to work and doesn't do their work properly. Imagine a doctor that didn't do his job right because he was a slacker. Could kill the patient. I'm just saying that sin is destructive, is destructive. So God is sitting up there right now and He's saying, man, there's so many things I want to give you. And I know that you accept my son, Jesus Christ, but you know, it's more than just Him being your Savior. If you listen to God, He will tell you this. It's more than just saving you from a spiritual death when you die. It's living for righteousness. You see, you took the first step. Now you got to go the whole walk with Christ. Are you guys getting this? You got to go the whole walk with Christ. He's got more He wants to do in your life. He wants to bring you up and He wants to teach you His way so that you could teach it to others. Okay? Colossians 2, 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the written code and its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Okay, this is what this is saying. Before Jesus Christ came into your heart and you accepted Him, you were dead in your sins. You're not living when you're being sinful. You think you are because you're having fun. But deep down inside, your spirit's dying. It's dying. And God took that away from you through Jesus Christ. Okay? And now you're no longer under the law. You're no longer under the law. You're under grace. You're under grace. It's not what you do to be saved. It's who you believe in that saves you. Because Jesus took all that away and He nailed it to the cross. He took it away and He nailed it to the cross. So you got to start living for righteousness is basically what this is saying. A glimpse of God's love, and this is conclusion, I'm almost done. A glimpse of God's love for humanity could be seen through the suffering of Jesus. A glimpse of God's love for humanity can be seen through the suffering of Jesus. Understand that God gave His most precious gift. And we can never, ever imagine the amount of love that God has for us, but we can see a glimpse of it through the suffering of Jesus. Because what would you give to save somebody else who was guilty? God gave the most precious thing anybody could give, the perfect gift of Christ. So we get a glimpse of the immense love that God has for us. People always told me before I was saved, God loves you. I didn't know how much He loved me until I found out how much Jesus suffered. Anybody ever do something for you? I had a fellow work on my car, and he spent all day doing it, and he didn't charge me a penny. And he busted his knuckles, and he hurt his arm, and he spent all day doing this, and it was cold outside. And he had me sit inside the car. It broke down on the side of the road. And he had me sit inside, saying that a preacher man shouldn't be out in the cold. And he worked all day, about 5 hours, on my car on the side of the street and fixed it. And I tried to give him something for that. He refused. He refused to take anything because I was a preacher man, he said. He says, no, I'm doing this for God. I have to work for you. I have to suffer for you is what he was saying. I was like, wow, what a sacrifice. And I thought, this guy must really love God to do this for one of his messengers. This is a display. You see, love is an action. Jesus could have said, I loved you, and did nothing at all. But something had to take place to fulfill that love. Okay? So when you say you love God, let's see your works. When I say works, I don't mean your saving works. Your works aren't going to save you. I mean, let's see your lifestyle. Not inside the church. Yeah, we come here, we have coffee, and we're all happy-go-lucky. How are you outside of this church when pastor ain't around? How are you acting with your friends? How are you acting on your Facebook? But how are you acting outside of church? You have to follow through with Christ. I'm not your judge. So if you guys are living a different lifestyle outside of this church and I don't see it, you ain't getting away with nothing from God. He sees everything that's done in secret. So get aligned with Jesus. Get that faith going. And he will help you live that righteous life because you're not going to do it on your own. Again, Jesus is the foundation. Only Christ can heal us of sin. Only Christ can heal us of sin. You can't do it. Your mama and your daddy can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your doctor can't do it. He can give you some pills, but he can't save you from your sins. He can't heal you from that. You might have a hurt leg and he says, well, I'll give you a bandage and some aspirin and that might help and stay off it for a while. But you tell him that you've been cutting up outside of church, you'd be like, you better start praying. If he's a good doctor, he'll tell you that. Once you are healed, believers are called to live righteously. We just went over that, didn't we? Once you are healed, what did Jesus say to the man that he healed the next day? He said, stop sinning or something far worse will happen to you. See, some of you have been saved from something that you thought was bad. And when you got out of it, you were like thanking God. Oh, thank you, God. And then you go right back to it or something else. Something worse could happen to you the next time around. Because that's called tempting God. Even Jesus knew not to tempt God, didn't he? Yeah. The devil tried to get him to tempt God. Hey, why don't you just throw yourself down and the angels are going to take care of you. Oh, no, you don't tempt God. Even Jesus wouldn't tempt his dad. He wouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. If God punished Jesus for our sins, let me say that again. If God punished Jesus for our sins, he will surely punish the unbelievers for theirs. You guys catch that? If he put his own son through a punishment that belonged to us, what do you think he's going to do to the unbeliever if he didn't spare his own son from that pain? You think that he's going to look at an unbeliever and do anything less? Jesus went through an agonizing, horrific death, and he was God's perfect son, and God allowed that. Do you not think that when an unbeliever stands in front of God, that he is going to be unfair to Jesus? And say, well, I didn't spare my kid, but you know what? I'm going to let you go. It's not going to happen that way. The unbeliever had better beware that God is a just God and that just because we're getting away with stuff now, because God is a patient God, God is a patient God. How many of you know that God is patient? Because you know in your own life you deserve some stuff, don't you? Come on, God got you out of stuff that you should still be in trouble for. You know this in your heart. You may not tell it to your friends or your family, but deep down inside, when you're honest with God, you're coming to him in prayer. When you're being honest and you say, why do you care about me, God? Why did you help me like that? And then you see somebody else that didn't get away with what you did. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, but look into your own hearts. How many of you in here did something that you got away with that you should have been burned for? And you knew somebody that did the same thing. Maybe it was even a little bit less. And they got burned for it. They got burned for it. And then you look at that person, you're like, oh, thank you, God. I had no idea that could happen to me. That could have been me, God. Why did you spare me and not him or her? I don't have the answer to that. All I know is that God has a plan for everybody that comes to his family and that your sins can hold that plan back. Not just your sins, which this is also a sin, but your complacency. You think it just stops with the belief of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to stop right there. I believe he died for me. Now I'm going to go live my life the way I want to. I'm telling you that in that day, there will be many that will say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because how can you have God in your heart when you're still lying, when you're still cursing? And I'm talking about lifestyles here. I'm talking about something that you're doing and you don't even have any regards for God. You don't even have remorse for it when you do it. You don't even hear God's voice that when you're about to steal something or you're about to lie to somebody or you're about to do something wrong, you don't even hear the voice of God in your heart saying, don't do that. You're grieving me. Man, if you're deaf to God's, to God's voice, do you really have him in your heart? How could you not hear something that's inside of you? You can hear the train coming down the tracks about to hit you, but you can't hear the sin inside of you bubbling up and the Holy Spirit crying up against it? If you're not hearing God's voice when you're about to sin, I'm not saying that we're all going to be perfect. I'm talking about that when you're a believer, you can hear God's voice. You know when you're doing something wrong. Even when you're ignorant of it, you have this little voice, oh, don't do that. I'm going to do it anyways. That's rebellion. That's what Adam and Eve did. They heard God's voice, didn't they? And he said, if you do this, you're going to die. And he punished them, didn't he? Immediately, as soon as they did it. Now, they heard God's voice, but they didn't listen to God's voice. And the land was cursed. And they tried to, oh, that woman you said. That woman you sat here in the garden with me, she did it. As husbands, we like to blame it on the wives. And then she said, the devil did it. The devil made me do it. Notice how the devil didn't even argue? The devil didn't even argue, did he? Come on now, the devil didn't even argue. He knew he was guilty, and he knew God so well that he wasn't going to argue with God. But see, believers, we like to argue with God. And it's pitiful that the devil didn't even argue with God. But we do. And think about the grace that it takes from God, that we're his created being, and he allows us to get away with that. How many times in the gospel did a demon speak up against Jesus and he said, be quiet? He shut him up, didn't he? But the people that came to Jesus and argued with him, he didn't tell them to shut up, did he? He could have, as God, he could make anybody shut up. He made the demon shut up, but he lets us, right now in this period of grace where we're at, he's letting us get away with so many things. And maybe that's why we just get in our head that we're skating home free. But see, the Bible is telling us that God is a just God, he's a patient God, and he's a graceful God. What side of God's personality do you want to be on? Do you want to be on his just side, or do you want to be on his patient and grace side? I tell you what, I strive to be on his grace side because that's the only way I'm going to get in, okay? When I think about that, I want to do better. When I think about what Jesus did for me, I want to do better. So I want you guys to leave here today thinking about what Jesus did for you. And the Bible says every time you sin, you crucify him all over again. You grieve the Holy Spirit. He died for you. Think about it. If you did this for somebody and they took it for granted and they didn't appreciate what you did for a person, how mad does that make you when you do something? Say you gave somebody a brand new car and they tear it all up and they didn't even pay for it. It'd make you mad, wouldn't it? It'd make you mad if you gave somebody something they tore it up. Well, God gave us the free gift of Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. We should live for righteousness so that we can call people the church. He doesn't intrude in your life. He doesn't blow his own trumpet and say, here I come, okay? He wants you to see what he's doing just so that you'll acknowledge the fact that he loves you and he's there for you, okay? Now that he's done this, now that he's doing these things for you, what's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to receive what God has done in love and continue on with him in the direction. He said, follow me. God's not following you anywhere. So if you find yourself anxious, scared, and alone, guess what? You walked off from God. You're like that little sheep that ran off from the shepherd. And now, listen, the sheep, eventually got to come back to the shepherd. Because if they don't get back in line, he's going to take his rod. Remember what David said. Your staff and your rod comfort me. The staff was to guide you. If a sheep didn't listen, because we all have black sheep, right? Then God will take that rod and give you a good spanking and get you back into place. Either way, you're going to get back in line. Sooner or later, you're going to get back in line.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.